We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going to take a quick break to tell you about our brand new sponsor, BetOnline. Miss your chance to bet on the Chiefs and Niners? Well, fear not, listener. Blue Wire is excited to be partnering with BetOnline to help you win big no matter the time of year. With March Madness, the Masters, and the Major League opening day right around the corner, BetOnline has you covered for all your latest news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Plus, it's never too early to lay down your future bet for Super Bowl 2021. Head over to betonline.ag and use our promo code BLUEWIRE to retrieve 50% off a welcome bonus on your first deposit. We signed up, it's super easy, and if you're making wagers, it's a fantastic way to support this podcast. Again, that's promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, when you sign up on betonline.ag. Bring your best bets with BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and with me today, my producer, co-founder Brian Goins. The wedding is approaching. He is preparing. He's preparing his lovely, lovely ceremony. But instead, with me today is our statistician and professional photoshopper, Christian Hernandez.
Oh, what's up? It's been a while.
It's been a while. Got lots to talk about today. We have our statistician and pun master, Nikias Duncan.
Hello.
And we also have our anime lover and professional photoshopper, Brass Jazz.
I don't want to be here.
Your face, man, before you said that. So we had actually like a really fun show planned about the outlook of the season and what we thought of the trades and everything. And with about, I want to say like around 8:34 or something, I don't know, like right before the third quarter ended, Nikias puts in the chat and he's like, you guys want to just start this podcast? Like, I don't really think the Cavs can do this. And I was like, oh, let's just wait till like midway through the fourth. Let's see how this goes. The guy was like, yeah, it seems like it's over. And ooh-wee! He had 3 field goals in the fourth quarter. Nothing worked. Iguodala couldn't sniff the floor in the fourth quarter, which was interesting. I don't even know. Christian, where the hell do we start?
I don't know. I went to have dinner. I was like, this game is in the bag. I don't really need anything else to learn from this game. You know, I think I'm ready for this podcast. I'm gonna sit down. I'm gonna watch. We were watching a little NCIS, you know, while we had some dinner.
Some Mark Harmon.
Yeah, and then you know, Mark Harmon, legend. You know, we come back and all of a sudden the Heat are only up 3, and from there they still found a way. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. was on a tear from what I saw at the end. Great night from him. And then it looks like just about every guy on the Heat lost their legs, which is, you know, something to look out for, because obviously Duncan starting off 5-5 is great, but ending the game 0-4 is less than ideal.
Some of the shot selection by Duncan, like the, some of the stuff they were running.
Those shots in the second half, some of them were forced, and they were definitely not in like the comfortable position that he likes to be when he takes off. So just a lot of awkward releases in the second half.
They weren't running offense for him. It was more like when everything went bad in the play, it's like, Duncan, please shoot.
Yeah.
I'm fine with him getting a green light at home whenever he wants to shoot, but not away, especially not late in games. I don't know, man. It hasn't been great.
I mean, what do you mean it hasn't been great?
No. He has been great.
What metric hasn't been great?
No. Duncan is great, but I'm saying historically the season on the road, especially if they're, you know, coming from behind, or he's way better at home than he is on the road. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, that's fair. And
that's what I'm talking about. I'm saying
a lot of the young guys.
The fourth quarter was going off a fucking cliff, and they couldn't make anything. What, they made like 3 of 16 shots or something? I mean, it was horrific. And then just to see, you know, Duncan just sort of chucking up stuff. I mean, it was desperation, but it's like, man, I'd much rather just drive to the basket, you know, and try to get fouled, but. You know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and I'm just watching the timeline, and it is just melting down, melting. But it's like, why are people panicking right now? Like, they blew a 19-point lead. You know what's the one thing that has really been fundamentally different about this year's Heat team?
The bad defense?
No. I mean, that too. But the other thing is Jimmy Butler, especially when he's on the court, the Heat do not let teams drop these runs on them. The kind of runs that were just hampering them for the last like 3-4 years is really just showed that they were not more than a mediocre team. Like, good teams don't get run on like that. And Jimmy is always the guy that is there to draw a foul or to get a tough bucket when the things aren't going well. And that's something that's really helped this team low-key this season. And even though Jimmy's struggled a little bit lately, especially compared to how he was doing in the beginning of the season, his presence is 100% missed right now.
Nikias, what you got?
I guess my counter to that is that the Heat shouldn't have needed Jimmy Butler in this game.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay, fair. But, you know.
No, you're
fine. I meant more in general, beyond this game.
Yeah. No, I got you. That's fair. But first, give some credit to Cleveland, more specifically Larry Nance Jr.
Once they, never.
Know, they sized up and put him at the three, he pretty much erased Duncan Robinson on one end and then just put him under the basket on the other end. And he just did not have a counter to that. I was a little surprised they didn't go back to Kelly Olynyk, because you could at least get some similar spacing on the offensive end with him. And you don't just have an easy mismatch to pick up on the other end.
Why do you think they took – I mean, Olynyk played 15 minutes tonight, and, you know, his plus-minus was, 12? Why do you think they pulled him like that?
I have no idea. Like, the only thing I could think of would be defense, because he was – obviously, he was lighting it up offensively, knocked down a couple of deep threes. Just the general spacing he provided was valuable. I'm not sure why Spo didn't go back to him. And I hope someone in the media asked him about that specifically. It was odd just not seeing Kelly at all. I mean, the game was in hand through three quarters, so in theory, he wouldn't have been needed anyway. But once things started getting tight, especially with Chris Silva in and just kind of tanking things on both ends of the floor, you would think that Spo would go back to Kelly Olynyk, at least to throw out a different look, but he just didn't. It was weird.
He has not looked good. So, like, I know that plus-minus doesn't tell the whole story, but, like, Crowder minus 18, Dragic minus 17, Iguodala minus 13, Silva minus 13, like, that. You know, and it's really upsetting when the two guys that you trade for are just not having it on a road game that you need. And Iguodala specifically, and Nikias, we've talked kind of when the Jay Crowder regression would hit, and apparently it was today.
It was in the fourth quarter in overtime specifically.
Fucking spectacularly, like, the regression hit. You know, it kind of reminded me of, remember JJ's really hot shooting for like a week, and then it regression hit nasty. Mm-hmm. Iggy not seeing the floor late I think it's kind of concerning. The fact that he just hasn't looked good, especially today, like when you really needed some stops or whatever and kind of new matchup stuff. It's concerning.
I get it's early, but...
It's early.
I cannot... The extension is really the bigger thing. Like, I don't know. Doesn't it seem like right now, if anybody they should have given the extension to, it's Jay Crowder?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, the...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think most of us wouldn't have really expected that, right? I mean, I mean, people here included weren't, you know, excited about Jay Crowder really being on this team.
No, of course, yeah, no, that was definitely not the expectation. But now that we've seen a couple weeks of action, like, what do you honestly see?
In Iguodala or Jay Crowder?
Oh,
in both. Like, just comparing each level, each of their levels of contribution. Obviously, Jay Crowder's been on fire, so this is probably it's unfairly high expectation for him to continue that.
Yeah, Justice didn't fucking die for this.
they switch a lot more on defense now, which I like, but it hasn't really seemed to help. I did notice that they just won't switch Dragic. And even like they'll switch off screen stuff at times, but if it's Dragic or Duncan, they just won't, especially if Bam's in the drop scheme. But I mean, Dragic is still getting picked on even then, like, cause you know, Tristan kind of goes under the basket and Bam had to kind of stay by him. The Heat, by the way, so I was looking at some numbers. The Heat are the second best rebounding team in the league. However, when they're in the clutch, that drops into like the 20s in rebound rate. Which is really concerning, and part of that is they're going small. And like today was an issue too, late in games. Like I know that they tied the game on an offensive putback, but like late in the game, like the rebounding is an issue, and in clutch situations, they're like bottom of the league.
Yeah, I think overall it's a good thing that they're going to Bam at the five to close out games. I think that's where they're going to be at their best. But when Bam's at the five, your four is Derrick Jones Jr., who can jump high, but he's pretty slight. We've seen Jay Crowder at the four. He's a tough guy, but he's 6'6". If they do stick with two bigs, which you didn't see tonight, but if you get Bam and Kelly out there on the floor together late, Kelly's not a good rebounder either. So I do think that's probably going to be where Miami can be picked on, and Cleveland exploited that again. They went Larry Nance Jr. at the three tonight, and they just kind of mashed Miami on the glass in the fourth quarter in overtime.
A team like Philly can do that too, which is concerning because like that's their most probable first round opponent. So like you look at something like today and you're like, oh, like that's where Philly can really, I know Miami has been really good against them lately, but mm-hmm. where they can get exploited is there, kind of not letting Miami downsize to the lineups they like.
And they're about to go on a run without Ben Simmons.
They are. Beat at, what did he have, 50 today?
You know, I have nothing real to support this, but I really think they miss Myers Leonard also.
I mean, the lineups with him are really good. The Bam-Myers combo is really good. I think they're, like, mm-hmm. plus a lot per 100.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even – like, obviously he's not really, you know, more than an average defender. But he does – he's got a lot of size, and he does – like, he can eat up passing lanes. He can make it difficult for, you know, offenses to get into certain looks. And obviously he spreads the floor pretty well, so – He really is just such a good fit around a lot of these guys that I feel like his presence is missed. And also just because of the kind of attitude I think he has too. I think that's one of those intangible things that's hard to really quantify.
So when they're on the floor together, they're plus +7 in about almost 800 minutes. So a net rating of 7. So defense is at 107, offense is at 114. So it's pretty good on both ends. Bam without Leonard is only plus +4. In about 1,200 minutes, so almost, yeah. That's kind of funny to look at.
That are we concerned
better with Myers than without?
Are we concerned about Bam hobbling at the end of the fourth? Or actually, that was overtime, right? That was overtime.
I mean, he's a sturdy guy. I mean, it didn't look too bad. I mean, he stepped on, was it Collins' ankle or?
It was KPG.
Dude, Spo looks haggard in this post game press conference. Oh my god,
he should.
He looks rough, man. He went through a breakup. That's what Spo looks like right now.
After all the shit he was talking about Cleveland and Wade's event this weekend, too.
Thank God they didn't do this on Saturday. God, good God, could you imagine?
Awful.
Could you have imagined? By the way, Brass, to your point that you made earlier, Duncan at home mm-hmm. as a shooter, 50%. On the road, 37%. So still good, not just Nova.
Not, but yeah, but my point is they just, I mean, they just let it fly at the end of games. And he's, and I, you know, I do want to clarify what I said before. I'm not, Duncan is an unbelievable shooter. But I'm saying that the difference between home and away is still pretty significant.
I've read a tweet. What are they, 2-6 since the trades?
Since Justice Winslow's no longer in the
team? Yeah, since Winslow's departure from the Heat. And I don't really know.
Hell of a stat. Hell of a stat.
2-6 tweeted by at all Dave.
Terrible things.
He hasn't missed a shot.
That Dave got mad. Oof, Dave. You love him or hate him. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Great guy.
Yeah, so like I don't really know. They're 8 games into this new era post trade deadline Heat, and it looks bad, but they had a really long road trip. They're kind of injured. You know, the guys, especially Iguodala, probably doesn't have his legs under him yet. They even had a whole week off in the middle of that to throw everything off. I don't know what to make of this. Like I really they don't look good. I like some of the stuff that they're doing defensively, like in theory, but it's just not working. That loss of the Hawks they've had like a couple losses recently that are in the running for worst loss of the year. I mean, Nikias, you've said before, like, nothing's gonna come close to that Washington loss without Beal.
You lose to Garrison Matthews, man.
Garrison Matthews, man.
That's it. That's the worst loss of the season. And they got bopped. It wasn't like yeah. close. Like they got fucking trounced. At least this game, they were up by a lot.
Yeah, and I think that makes it feel worse at the end. But, yeah, you get trounced by a no Beal. There's no
– no Ish Smith.
No, it wasn't Ish there. Didn't he score, like, 20 points that night?
Did he? I don't
– I just always assume anytime that he'd take a bad loss that Ish Smith dropped 20 points and 8 rebounds and 8 assists on
us. Let me tell you something, Matt.
That's what always happens.
There's a 30-for-30 to be done on fantasy owners and Ish Smith and how he has changed the seasons. Let me tell you, Matt. That guy will fucking put up numbers. Let me tell you. Legend.
But I guess to your overall question, what to take away from this, I don't know if there's really anything to take away. It kind of reinforces what Miami's issues are. Obviously, Jimmy's out, but secondary creation is still an issue. Miami trusted Kendrick Nunn a lot, and he pretty much had he was pretty hot and cold. He looked awful in the first half. He looked fantastic in the third quarter, and then made a multitude of mistakes in the fourth quarter that led to Goran Dragic closing things out. So you don't really have the trust there. Goran Dragic, as good as he is offensively, isn't a guy that can create separation without a screen. And once, you know, Cleveland sized up a little bit, you saw Kevin Porter Jr. on him sometimes. Even when they ran pick and rolls, they were switching. Tristan Thompson was on him. He couldn't blow by Tristan Thompson. So that was there. Obviously, there's no Tyler Hero either, so he couldn't even be there to take some pressure off. And beyond that, it would have been nice to see Bam get a little more aggressive in the fourth. But – I mean, there was just a lot of size for him to deal with, and the floor was cramped once you had Jay Crowder missing everything. There was the size on the perimeter, so there were really no passing windows there. And then once you bring Andre Iguodala in the game, they're just not guarding him. So there wasn't really much room for Bam to operate either.
I mean, that's the biggest issue with Andre so far. It's that if teams basically know that he's just looking to pass, it makes things easier once the ball gets in his hands because they can – they kind of know what to do and it won't really hurt them and most likely, you know, pass it to another action. So I just worry about that. He's got to really be able to knock down shots when they need to.
And it's kind of concerning because they already play Jimmy, who's well-documentedly not a good shooter, especially this season, and Bam doesn't take him. So like you exacerbate the issue where you have three guys on the floor that are either won't take a three-point shot or not good three-point shooters. So, but their offense hasn't been the issue. So, like, we say this stuff about the offense. And, like, yeah, maybe tonight, like, they had some trouble scoring in the fourth quarter, getting field goals or whatever. But the defense, I mean, since the trade, they have a 113 defensive rating. It's just awful.
Yeah. You can go ahead, Christian.
I was saying, I actually only recorded a few stats for this. But one of the ones that I did was that so far this season, the Heat's defensive rating has gotten worse every single month.
They started off awesome.
Yeah, like they started off great with a 99.3 defensive rating in October, but by December they were at 111.1, and in February, right as of before tonight, they were at 111.7. I don't know if it's going to go up or not. It probably is going to go up a little bit, but yeah.
It's concerning. Like,
it's very concerning.
I don't know if they have enough internally to fix it. I don't know if they have anything schematically they can do. I don't know if it's just a matter of getting Myers on the floor and just kind of playing, tinkering with lineups a little bit, but I don't know if they have enough.
We also have no timeline on anybody.
It's nobody. The Butchers. Nobody.
Jimmy, we have no idea. I mean, again, hopefully everything's
Jimmy's
all right.
He's not
there,
injured, though.
No, he's not, but we literally have no idea what it is. Can't even guess what it is. And then, Myers and Tyler just got out of a walking boot like today. It's not great.
But like in terms of Tyler, like Tyler's not helping your defense. Like not yet. He's not at that level yet. Like he's a guy who gets in the picture rebounding and like he'll help a little bit, but I don't think he's enough of a difference maker that like this is directly correlated to him because the offense hasn't really been the problem. Like tonight is a night that he could have helped you. He's a guy that's not scared that can get you a bucket. Mm-hmm. But like how much better is Myers really going to help you? Like, yeah, you know, okay, he's important to what they do, but how much is that worth? And is that enough to, we've said this before on the show for a while, like they've been playing about 500 basketball for pretty much since mid-December. Their point differential has been about that. They've gotten really lucky winning overtime games and close games, and it's really catching up to them.
And I think bringing Myers back is going to be, I guess, addition by subtraction. A little bit. Playing Myers means you're not going to get Chris Silva out there. And if Kelly Olynyk continues to be a problem defensively, he's not going to be out there much either. So I do think that helps a little bit. As you mentioned, Tyler Hero would have helped tonight once Miami went dead cold early in the fourth because that would have been him in there to start the fourth. That would have just been the normal rotation pattern there. So him getting a couple of jumpers probably would have stopped the bleeding enough to where Miami could eke this out. But, yeah, even with the deadline deals, Miami has been switching more. Hasn't necessarily been successful. You can tell there's definitely a focus for them to try to keep things in front with more switching. They're playing more drop. You're not seeing as many traps or as much zone as we saw earlier in the year.
That's good, though, because the zone stuff was just getting ridiculous. Like, they were just getting torn to shreds.
Yeah. I think what you're seeing now schematically, some drop with more switching mixed in, I think that's what you're going to see in the playoffs. So I do think – I thought it was pretty odd that Miami just flat out didn't trap Trae Young in that game. Yeah. That's kind of been their game plan against them. So I do think Spo is just trying to see what he has in that. So from that perspective, I'm not really concerned with the result. It's more so the process. But even with those deals, it didn't really solve Miami's primary issue. You got more switchable defenders, but you still don't have a guy that you really trust at point of attack outside of Jimmy Butler. And if he's pretty much controlling the offense, I mean, that's going to be a lot of strain on him once the playoffs come around.
The other issue is that they don't really have guys that – they don't have enough plus defenders that they can throw out at once that doesn't neuter the offense. Like, there was a – I mean, Nikaizu tweeted it out. He said Iggy over Duncan was a decision that somebody made, right? Like – but, you know, Duncan's also getting picked on one end. And so, like, Goran was attacked at the end. Goran was hunted tonight. And he is so very frequently. But what can you do? Like, they don't have anybody else. So, like, you have to put, like, either guys that hurt your offense or that hurt your defense, and you have to live with the result. And they don't have enough two-way guys that they can put on the court at once.
Yeah. It's going to be a big stretch for Kendrick Nunn.
They don't have five guys that they could put out there that are two-way guys that can play together.
That's true.
They don't. Like, there's not a lineup that they can put out there that is five capable defenders and offensive players. Like, that's an issue. Like, they've been really overachieving despite that fact. But, like, if Iggy's not going to be that guy, and if you know what I mean? Like, Jay Crowder, maybe, if he continues the offensive play that he's doing. But still, like, they don't have five guys.
Ira Winderman just tweeted out, quoting Bam, saying he said, "It can't get worse than this."
Oh, but it did, Bam.
I mean, I was going to say, do we think that it can get worse than this? Because, I mean, especially if, you know, God forbid that Jimmy's out much longer. I mean, another thing that we haven't really talked about much is Tyler Hero's injury. The Heat are always very vague about injuries, but he's been out for a while now, and there's still no timetable.
6 to 8 weeks, man. I'll never forget.
Quack.
You know.
Quack. Quack.
These games are starting to add up a little bit, and you start to wonder.
Brass, do you remember that when Dion went out and we reported that he was going to be out 6 to 8 weeks and that he put on that little song and dance of there's no timetable and magically Dion never saw Dion again that season?
We had it first.
I mean, like, they're like that. That's who they are. Like, they play injuries very close to the vest. They don't really say much, and I don't know. Questions, man. It's a lot of questions. I don't want to hit the panic button on the season yet, because, like, I still, as bad as they've looked, I do think that they're not this bad. Like, I've been critical of how they're playing a little bit above their level, but they're not this. This is not who they are. I don't think it's fair to say this is who they are. I think people, like, being apocalyptic, you know what I mean? It's like, if they play Indiana, they'd beat Indiana in the playoffs. Let's get over this, guys. And they're going to have a good series against the Sixers, especially if they get a home seed. They just have to really, like, pick up the pace again. But, like, I think people kind of go – Heat fans are, like, too – you know, they swing too much. They're either, like, way too panicky or they're way too cocky. Like, when
they need
really
to be feeling something at all times. It's – they can't just be, like, okay. That is not acceptable on Twitter, apparently. You either have to be super happy that you're harassing people with your happiness – or you're lashing out at everyone because you're not happy.
So their upcoming schedule is kind of interesting. So they're going to have Minnesota on Wednesday at home, which is a very winnable game considering how good they are at home. Then they have the Mavs at home. They have the Nets, the Bucks, the Magic, the Pelicans, which is, you know, none of those games are going to be particularly easy, even though that the Magic are not great, but they've always played the Heat tough, and same with Brooklyn that they just lost to. Then you kind of get an easy Wizards, Hornets, Knicks, Bulls stretch before the Bucks, Bulls, Pacers, Thunder, Nuggets, right? So, like, the schedule is going to sway a lot, and it's going to get kind of tough. And to close out the year, they're going to get, you know, the Celtics, Hornets, and Raptors. So, like, it's rubber meets the road time, right? Like, if they're really going to make a push to keep that 4 seed, I think the 3 seed is probably out of play at this point. I do think that to beat Philly, you're going to want that home seed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, these injuries have to disappear, like, rather quickly, because I don't know, they're half a game above Philadelphia for the 5 spot.
If we can get home court for the playoffs, I can be totally convinced to be cocky going into it. If not, I don't know about that. I mean, I still think we're gonna win whoever we play, but
attaboy,
you know, I'm not gonna feel good about it.
Their schedule is, like, kind of medium-ish. They have some easy, some hard games. I'm concerned, but not too concerned. I probably think they keep the 4 seed. I just think they figured this out. Like, this is too much of a funk. Like, they're just not this bad.
And they've been missing Jimmy.
They've been missing Jimmy. I mean, the Jimmy stuff. I mean, the Hawks, they weren't missing Jimmy for the Hawks, which is just, like, they've oddly piled on, like, these just horrid losses.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? And in the beginning of the season, I mean, we're not too far removed from them playing the Clippers awesome before Jimmy got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think overall, like, obviously this stretch isn't great, but overall, you got to maintain some level of perspective. Like, this really is still a house money season for the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were not supposed to be – I mean, I guess
what was the over-under? Wasn't the over-under like 43 or 45?
Yeah, it was I think, like, yeah, just over 500.
Like, they're still on a 52-win pace, by the way. Like, I just want everyone to understand that after tonight, like, they're still on a 52-win pace.
The most important thing at this point, if they want to make any kind of a run, is to get as many people healthy by the end of the season. That's mm-hmm. the priority.
I think the 4 seed is important.
If,
like,
Bam
should be the priority.
Slightly hobbled after whatever happened tonight, they should just sit him next game.
Yeah.
Like, the health is the most important thing. I really don't think they're going to lose enough games going down the stretch to be at worst the 6th seed.
No, right? I mean, I even think the 6th seed's out of play for them. I think they're going to be the 4 or the 5 seed. I think it's just going to – I mean, in Indiana's been just –
Oh, wait, and didn't they just lose Lamb?
Yeah, they just lost Lamb.
Really, yeah, cool, man, that's
catastrophic
a
knee. What did he get, like, 4 things wrong in his knee, Nikias? Ugh.
It was an ACL, a meniscus.
Oh god,
something else. But yeah, he's done for a while.
Kind of reminded me of Livingston, like, just that kind of, like, just piling on top of everything. It's, oh god, you kind of hope that he kind of gets well soon because he's a really good player. Yeah, I don't really think they get to the 4 seed, to the 6 seed. I think they're gonna be with that 4 or 5 kind of zone for the rest of the year. I want to talk a little bit of positivity because we've been really down on them and deservedly so. But Saturday was a lot of fun and we haven't really potted about that. And Christian, you were in the building. I know you got to go soon, but what was it like being there? Like how the good game against the Cavs?
Oh, I mean, it was awesome. The building was filled to capacity. I know because it was a little bit warm. I think they're usually always prepared for about, you know, 85-90% full, but that thing was packed to the brim with people, with all kinds of, you know, like the amount of people that were down like floor side was way larger than usual. It felt like a playoff game. Like the entire environment felt like a playoff game.
That first quarter was insane, the level of noise in that crowd.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the way the team played in the first half was incredible. And then, you know, it got topped off, obviously, by Dwayne giving an incredible speech. You know, obviously, it was just the perfect consummation to his career. You know, just the way that it went, it was beautiful all the way through. You know,
I went on Locked On last night, our friends at Locked On Heat, David Ramil. And David asked me if I felt that this has been kind of self-indulging for Dwayne, like kind of narcissistic a bit. To have.
Oh, my God. It is. No. Don't get me wrong. It's been so over the top. I was talking to my friend who I went with to the event, but it's like it feels like we've been doing the same thing for like a year and a half now.
But isn't it great?
I mean, it is great. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But like this better be it for at least like a couple years.
I thought maybe the documentary showing was like that was the drop that overfilled the bucket. Yeah, I heard not a lot of people went to that. I heard that was and Dwayne went to address the crowd and everything, and the director showed up. So like it was a thing, and it was mostly empty apparently.
When is he eligible for the Hall of Fame?
Isn't it 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's five. If not mistaken.
I think it's 5 years, right?
Okay, great. So Hall of Fame time comes around, we can do it all again.
And the statue, which happens first? Does he get a statue?
The statue's got to come way before that. Are you kidding?
Well, are they going to do a ceremony for Dwayne Wade Boulevard?
Let me tell you something. We have a couple more events. We're going to milk the hell out of this. Legend, dude. Dwayne's a content machine, even past retirement.
Do you guys watch the documentary?
I have not yet. I'm really excited, though. I hear it's amazing. Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it today.
Oh, yeah. So you haven't seen it yet?
No, I watch it. Yeah, I watch it. I watched it today.
What was your favorite part?
My favorite part was how they just fast forwarded over certain parts of the timeline.
What are the odds that Nikias watches this documentary?
I'm definitely going to check it out.
I would love to hear your take. It's fascinating, though. I mean, there is not one mention of like his injury history or, you know, his knee, none of that, nothing.
They didn't
nothing.
Cover the knee stuff?
Nope.
Really?
Not nope. The Indiana thing? That's like the nope. thing I'm most
so,
interested
so
in.
If you are watching that and you don't know anything about Dwayne, you are like, by the time it comes where the Heat don't pay him in 2016, and you know, you're just like livid. You're like, oh my God. You know,
that's
meanwhile.
The timeline was though.
Sure. I mean, you know, we all know how that played out, but I don't know. I just thought that was really weird. They went from LeBron leaving to saying, oh, we made it to, you know, one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals to boom, they didn't pay me. And it that all happened in like 2 minutes. So really, I don't know.
They cut out the Kyle Lowry half court shot. How dare they?
Normally those documentaries, you're like, it was a little long. I feel like they could have added another 40 minutes of this.
There's a whole chapter in between that they missed. Come on, Dwayne. Yeah. You know, and it's funny because
it was really good though. I enjoyed it.
You know, I was talking to somebody today about how I think him kind of leaving and coming back is part of like the greatness of the story, Christian. And I know you were there for first game back and the game winner against Philly, but like, and I've said this a couple times and I even tweeted it, but for him to leave, right, and then for kids like those kids at Stoneman Douglas that went through that awful tragedy. And for one of the young men who died to want to be buried in Dwayne's jersey, that kid's not old enough to remember 2006, right? So, like, he doesn't know Dwayne the way we know him, right? And then for Dwayne to leave and come back and for him to feel those feelings for him, even though that he's not really old enough to get the whole scope of it, mm-hmm. And that's really powerful. For him to leave and come back and for people to love him just as much. And for – and I saw a lot of this on the timeline last night that – when does an athlete ever look out for himself over the interests of the fan base? And the fan base goes, no, 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 you're right, Dwayne. Riley's wrong here. They're wrong for not paying you. You're totally right for leaving. And when he comes back, it's gravy. Everyone, like, when does that happen?
Yeah, that's really rare. I mean, the comments from Riley in the documentary are really, you know, pretty touching. I mean, he totally admits fault and you know, he takes that and, you know, it's yeah. I mean, but they both on both ends regret their decisions, I think. And but, you know, interesting, going back to the Stoneman Douglas thing, there's actually a portion of this where they talk a lot about gun violence. And a lot of that is leading up to his cousin's,
really?
His cousin's death in Chicago, which happened just like a couple weeks after he got there, and there was, and you would think that would also lead up to the return to Miami, and then maybe mention that Stoneman Douglas, no mention of that at all.
Really,
it's just interesting. Some certain things that you would think really are amazing parts of the story. So,
yeah, like particularly the stuff with his knee in that Indiana series is like, I don't know, for me, guys, like that's one of the most important turning points of his career, when he's yelling at Spo, what was it, game three, where he couldn't get anything going. He looked like he could not play basketball anymore, and then comes out in game four and looks awful for a half. LeBron gets mm-hmm. him a dunk, and then from that point on, he just absolutely torches them and the Celtics, because he continued on the next series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, that's like, to me, that's one of the snapshot Dwayne Wade stretches of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Kai's brimming with passion for Dwayne Wade.
if this
was a Chris Middleton documentary, Kai's would be all over this.
Look, man, I would be in it.
They didn't review you. Chris Middleton stan. Listen, I've been saying for years,
I remember that first article for FanRag.
The guys is going to come in like the Captain America meme with the chair. Here, I'm here to talk to you about Chris Middleton, man. I love how everyone, like, if there's anything positive about Chris Middleton, you get tagged.
Look, I took my lumps. I earned that one.
Listen, you've been through a lot. You've 100% earned it. All right, guys. Christian, I want to ask you before you go, what is your preferred playoff matchup? Because, like, I think that the defense, like, we have to start looking out as to how this is all going to play out.
I mean, realistic, Indiana.
Realistic? You prefer Indiana over Philadelphia?
I mean, of course.
Yeah.
With this new Ben Simmons news that Ben Simmons is going to be out for an undisclosed amount of time, that there's possibly some sort of botched back going on, so it'd be mm-hmm. a Ben.
Oh, so now we're going to get Joel Embiid surrounded by a bunch of shooters?
Now you really don't want it. You think there's a tank for the sixth seed?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, okay. Obviously the Sixers, just because of the general dysfunction they have, and the Heat definitely seem to have their number the last few games. And Ben Simmons does help that team, no matter how many jokes we have at his expense. He's a valuable player, and them losing him should ultimately hurt them unless they can get some serious contributions from the other guys. You know, this, it could be one of those situations of addition by subtraction, but I don't know. It's hard to lose a high quality defender like Ben Simmons and have your team hold up the same.
I agree with you. I think the Philly matchup is pretty good for them. I don't think that, like I said, I don't think they'll be able to get to the Indiana matchup, and I don't even know if I'd prefer it over the Philly matchup, just because of how well Miami's played against them and all the different things that they can do. And just Spoelstra's such a better coach than Brent Brown, that I know that he's been outcoached by him in the playoffs before, but I don't think that'll happen. It's not a safe bet that it'll happen again.
I mean, yeah, I hope we face Philly. We beat Philly.
I want that smoke.
We trade for Joel Embiid.
I want all of it.
It's the perfect timeline.
Heat fans think we're getting everybody, man.
Everyone. I mean, him, Beal. We're going to make Beal happy. Beal looks so upset, man. I feel so bad for him. Okay, I really got to go.
It wasn't. I love you guys.
Love
you, buddy.
Bye.
It was sad here tonight, though. I don't know how much Beal would want to be here.
Can't be worse than what he's dealing with in Washington.
Brass, can you name three other Wizards?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I probably could. I
okay, let's like try it. This.
I don't feel like it. God. God.
Can you?
John, does John Wall count?
No.
Shabazz. Heat Life or Shabazz. He's on there, right?
He is.
There we go.
Yeah, like 27.
Oh, and the the guy who just lit it. The only reason I know his name is because he lit us the fuck up. Bertans?
Yes.
So,
he's good.
Boom. That's
one more. There's
one
another
more.
There's another famous heat killer on that roster.
Oh, God. well, okay.
You sound like you're drunk over the toilet. Oh,
I don't want to be doing. This is not the show I wanted to be doing tonight. I want to be lighting up. I didn't even have one Cleveland insult tonight. That's
you
like my bread
it.
And butter.
You weren't saying anything. We're naming
fuck,
Wizards
because
now.
How the fuck can I insult? They fucking came back. We were up 19 points going in the fucking fourth quarter. How can I light? No, man. Oh, God. Larry Nance Jr. Fuck that guy. I hate that guy. That foul on that he pushed him, and then Dragic got the tech. Oh, God. Don't even get me fucking stuff. And okay, Rui Hachimura. And I only know that name because you would not shut up about him.
How did you transition from Larry Nance rant right back into... Wizards trivia.
I don't know. I'm just
Ian Mahimi, legendary heat killer.
Oh, yeah.
Garrison Matthews. What are we doing here?
I know, man. Right, come on, right. Thomas Bryant.
I'm not feeling it, man. I don't care.
We're flexing.
I don't want
to
be here.
I can't name another wizard.
Smith, Troy Brown Jr.
Ish Smith.
All right, Nekias.
Isaiah
Jesus.
Thomas is traded.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Brass. That was masterful.
Oh, God.
My mom gave Larry Nance Jr. stood up and gave him double middle fingers as his putback was late to win the game.
That
she
is
stood
wonderful.
Up and said, fuck you, and double middle fingers at him.
I am buying her a drink at Brian's wedding.
Oh, my God. It's open bar, so.
Could
you imagine if Brian didn't make that open bar?
Oh, my God. I'd be very disappointed.
Could you imagine if Brian had done that during like an important Heat game? Like Heat Celtics or some shit.
Are we still recording?
Yes, of course we are.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Did you think we were done?
I don't know.
Did you think that rant was off air?
No.
Good rant.
Oh, God.
It was great. No, like, man, like, losses like that are frustrating. And it sucks because, Nekias, I think we are similar in this situation. That, like, I think we've been very cautious about how to talk about how good this Heat team has been. Because I think all the data has suggested that they're not as good as their record. And they have clear issues like the defense that was slipping that it just doesn't – there's not like a clear way to fix it. And then now the injuries have really compounded all their issues. And it's just flown like too far the other way. But like this is obviously like a horrific loss. And they shouldn't be losing to them. And it's really confusing and frustrating to watch them lose to Atlanta and – this Cleveland team in the same damn week.
It's ugly, but ultimately, I mean, they're still going to make the playoffs. They're still probably going to end up with home court unless the bottom just completely falls out. And they're going to have a pretty good shot at winning a first-round series. And I think before the year, a lot of people said second-round exit was a success. So I think you take that if that's what it ends up being. Like, I feel like a lot of the – at least for me, a lot of the criticism is all through the lens of, okay, what does Miami need to do to succeed in the playoffs? And so that kind of, because of the question that they do have, it sounds a lot more negative than it should be. Because overall, Miami has still had a very good season.
Yeah.
So I don't think there should be a lot of stress to this.
No. My take on that is I'm not sounding the alarm as everyone is doing out there. Everyone's, you know, jumping off of things on Twitter and shit, and everyone's freaking out. And I'm at the point, I'm not like freaking out. I'm just annoyed. I'm really annoyed. We've seen enough of these. And I mean, now's the time they're supposed to be making up. They play a string of lesser teams. And do you guys remember early in the season how we would beat up on bad teams? And we're like, fuck. When is the last time we felt this? This feels pretty good. And then, you know, they lose to some good teams, and it's like, well, hey, they're good. But this is, like, unacceptable. I mean, even Atlanta felt bad
Atlanta felt real bad. But you know what? At least Atlanta had a player that scored 50 points. You know, when a team has a player go off like that, it's like, well, yeah, player scored 50 points. How the hell, with this Cavs roster, how did this happen? I mean, that's just – I'm just annoyed. And I guess the only sort of panic I have is just we don't know when some of these guys are going to be back. I mean, if – listen, a week from now, if we get Myers Leonard, we get Hero, and we get – especially get Jimmy back, I'm going to be feeling – a lot better going into this stretch of lesser teams. And I think we're going to make up some ground. And, you know, who knows? I hear Boston's – I haven't really looked at their schedule. I hear Boston's schedule is sort of the inverse of ours coming up. They actually play some tougher teams. Mm-hmm. So – and is Kemba still out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously the last game with Jason Tatum, it didn't really matter. But, you know, we – it's – the listen, man, the three seed is still in play if we can just get our shit together. But it's just, at this point, I've seen too many of these this season. I thought we were past this. And it's just annoying.
So kind of run through what you're saying, Brad. Celtics have the Blazers, Jazz, Rockets, Nets, Cavs, Jazz, Thunder, Pacers, Bucks, Wizards, Bulls, Knicks, Raptors, Nets, Wizards. So it's like, it's kind of a mix, but they have some tough teams. Play the Heat, Heat twice, the Bucks twice.
Her on ours, but.
So, you know. The Raptors once, the Thunder once, the Jazz twice. So some and the Rockets once, who are red hot since PJ Tucker's been thrown into the meat grinder.
It sucks because, you know, Riley really kind of went all in and you know, did this trade to get Iguodala.
They didn't really go
and
all
stuff.
In though. Like all in would have been
you're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. All in was not the thing to
they put
say
a foot on,
there.
He put a foot in the water.
Well, yeah, and he put justice under the water, basically. I mean, that was kind of what happened there. And so that sucks, you know, to say, hey, because you can make the argument, all right, you know, Justice Winslow, he might not play the rest of the season, but we're going to put our foot on the gas here, and we're going to really try to make this year happen. And then if that kind of falls short, if we can't make it out of the first round and we gave up justice for it, that's going to hurt. That's going to really hurt. But then again, we did get off a couple poor contracts. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't all bad, but
at the end of the day, they're playing for 2021, right? So they want 2021 flexibility and they were ahead of schedule. I don't think the Heat thought they were going to be this good. Fans certainly didn't think that they were going to be this good. Very few people even had them at the three seed, in the beginning of the year. That was like the sexy kind of sleeper pick, but people didn't know this, right? So they're really ahead of schedule with all their winning, all their success. So even if they have a hard fought first round series, that even if it doesn't get them out of the first round, like I don't think we can look at this season as a failure. Like you have guys like Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero that you're developing. Bam has taken a leap. You know, there's a lot of positive that has happened, and you know, Jason Tatum just really started taking a leap mid-season. Who's to not say that doesn't happen for Bam in March or whatever, like, or even early next year. So
no question. This season is, I'm still having I'm still having a good time, man. I'm just miserable right now. Because
tonight wasn't fun, but the season at large has been fun.
Well, three quarters was great.
I was party
loving
time,
it.
Baby.
I mean, this really, I mean, you're talking seven quarters in a row of just greatness. Just I loved it. I was like, oh man, this is great. But yeah, it's just a bummer. But no, you're right. Listen, there's a lot of positive stuff here. I mean, Duncan Robinson has just been unbelievable. And yeah, none. I mean, these guys you just didn't think were gonna be a thing. And Bam is unreal.
Bam's unreal.
He's unbelievable. Nikias, you said it yourself. You tweeted it yourself tonight.
You know what sucks for Bam?
He's in the discussion. He's in the discussion for the top 15.
Your conversation, or even all NBA defense, even though he's that kind of talent on defense, but the team has just not been good on that end. But he'll get his chance. He'll be in the conversation for DPOY and all defense soon enough when they get this righted.
Yeah, it's going to be a stacked field for the all defensive team and all NBA teams. I'm not sure if Bam makes one, but he's been worthy, and I think. Even if you felt like Bam was going to blow up a little bit this year because Hassan Whiteside was out of there, I don't know if anyone anticipated this kind of a breakout. He's adding stuff to his game weekly.
When does he get the green light to shoot? Or does he have it and he just doesn't shoot?
I feel like at this point he has and he just doesn't yet.
I don't think he's there as a shooter, and I don't think he's really there as a ball handler either. Like, I think to really to work in the half court, I think he needs a tighter handle that he just doesn't have yet, which is fine. Like, he's a big, and this is going to take some time to develop.
He's wide open for three sometimes and just doesn't take them.
I'd like him to take it, but I think that also – so, yes and no. So, what we do with Westbrook, like, Westbrook takes a lot of threes when he's open, and everyone gets mad at him because he's not good at them, right? And then Ben Simmons is the complete opposite, that he just never takes them even though he's not good at them. So you kind of need to strike a balance of, like, I'm not a good three-point shooter, but taking the shot has some value because I have to be guarded.
Did Russell Westbrook ever win the skills challenge?